Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Morris. Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And this evening, we have a fantastic program for you. Tonight, we have the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government with us this evening, Elihu Pleasant Bay, the author of the Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, as well as the Book of Ali, and the leader and head counselor of the Moorish American government. And before we get started, I want to say that we are offering our free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and How to Play, and History of the United States and its currency inside the United States. So to access that, you simply contact me by phone, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get that to you. Or you can just send me a little email. Just say, Tahaka, send me these, those free articles, and write to Tahaka 53@hotmail.com, and I'll go ahead and get that to you. For those of you who is your first time being here, always remember the call-in number is 310-982-4184. And you'll be able to get in on this broadcast. We have also created one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States. And for those of you who haven't gotten hold of this library, we have put a ton of information in there for you. Those of you who want to do your last will and testament, the actual templates are there. Your status letter is there. And there are tons and tons of other information available to you. And the Moors are having a tremendous amount of success, those who have accessed that library and are able to solve some of the problems that they have. So don't forget to contact me in regards to that library at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who would like to register with the Moorish American government, you simply type into your browser www.moorishamericangov.org. That's moorishamericangov.org. And you'll be able to get into that register on that site. Now, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be dealing with some subjects here. And it's going to be an exciting broadcast, so you all should pay very, very close attention to what's going to be said here this evening. We want to deal with how many times did the Prophet Noble Drew Ali express and use the word government in the Moorish Constitution? Why is it important today for all people of ancient African descent in America to proclaim their nationality? What would happen to the lives of so-called Negroes, Coloreds, African-American, African, Afro-Americans, and Blacks if they unified under one family name? Did the making of Negroes, colored, and blacks happen through the process of denationalization in the United States? What makes denationalization a crime today? Is denationalization a sin? What would it take to free all of the people of African descent in America at once? And these are just a few of the questions that's going to be addressed here, and there's much more to come. So you all just stay tuned, and we'll go ahead and get on into this broadcast, okay? Grand National Chairman, are you there?
Islam, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear, sir.
All right. It's on.
Okay. If you'll lead us in a moment of prayer, we'll go ahead and get started.
All praises. Allah, the Father of the universe, the Father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Allah is my protector, my guide, and my salvation, by night and by day, through his holy prophet, Dru Ali. Amen. Islam.
Amen. Islam. Okay, Grand National Chairman, is it something that is urgent for the Moors to know today? And if it is, could you just go ahead and give us that information at the outset, and then we'll get on down into the broadcast. In your opinion, what do you think is the most urgent thing that we need to know today?
And let me give praise to Allah and honor to the Prophet Noble Dwali. I want to extend much, much honor to this great occasion. And, Brother Minister, I tell you, your subject matter is one of prolific value and high esteem, because right now, as far as our people are concerned, and you're talking about an estimation of roughly around 60 million in the Northwestern Hemisphere of the Americas alone, this doesn't have to include all of the 7,000 islands, but we've got over 60 million of us just right here in the northwestern area, meaning what is now called Canada, the United States, Mexico, and deal with like Cuba, a few other places. But as far as most of the islands concerned, we haven't even begun to touch those areas. But nevertheless, there is no greater subject matter right now than nationhood, as far as our people is concerned, and what it is that they have to do to go about and bring themselves into this fine area of protection and security and jurisdiction. The nationhood alone was brought to us by Noble Dru Ali, who said that we must link ourselves with the nation of the earth. He's got this as an instruction, as a holy instruction to his people in the Quran, the Circle 7 Quran, and chapter 48 to be exact. We're speaking about the end of time and fulfilling of the prophecies. It's been long since ordained that we as a people would come from the bottom and return to the top and lead the other nations to peace on earth and goodwill to all men. So there is no other greater way. We have been everything. We've been Negroes, different groups, organizations. We've been religions. We've been some of everything, especially over the last 100 years since Noble Dru Ali first brought a lesson to us. But we have not become a nation of people bearing one free national name. That's the one thing we haven't done, and that's the reason why we're undergoing the kind of traumas that we're undergoing now. And the worst is yet to come, because the United States has got, it's over 800 concentration camps. We've got the FEMA has more than 300,000 railroad track waiting, and it just gets worse. So in other words, there's nothing that's more greater or important right now than nationhood.
Okay. That is the topic of our show this evening, energy and nationhood. And I want to go ahead and address that this evening. And I want you to, could you please give us a breakdown on the, why would the prophet put the word government inside the Constitution as many times as he did? I think he did it about 10 times. What was he trying to convey to us?
Well, actually, according to the way man read it, is there five times. The word government is mentioned five times in the Divine Constitution and its bylaws. Out of sight, if you want to deal with the higher ether plane, the whole thing from the word, the very word Constitution itself means government. Act One, which is our national constitution itself, that's another government. We also have to realize what form of government, according to today's linguistics all over the world, you've got about an estimated powers of about 60 different forms of government, everything from a monarchy to a dictatorship, okay, from a democracy to a theocratic government. And the latter one is what we have, is a call it theocracy. So we're very blessed to be the founders of the world's very first religious creed. The very first government was devised and set up by our ancient forefathers. Is what was used to civilize the world in the first place. So the prophet, this world has been, the word government has been overlooked primarily because the Moors have been so interested in becoming gangs and groups and fraternal orders and religions and organizations and some of everything you can think of that a Negro could possibly be or a nationless people could possibly be other than being themselves a nation of people. This is what was used to, should I say, in our conquest, in conquering us as a people. The main thing they did was to take us away from the powers of a government, the sovereignty of a government. And then they went about the process of denationalizing us, meaning that we did not have a national origin to attach ourselves to the human family. When that was done, that's when the 3/5 clause was introduced in the United States Constitution. Well, common sense will let you know that if you got 3/5, there's two of them missing in order to make a whole. So the 2/5 that was mentioned was the nationality and the divine creed. And under these, you'll find your government, which means that once you put the nationality and the creed together, then you have what is called a theocracy, or a government that is controlled by the higher ether planes, meaning the great God, at the very top. In the middle, you have all the prophets and the books, which is the holy instructions. And at the very bottom, in support of that, you have the nations of the human family. And these are to adhere up the pyramid, the structure. And this is why you have the all-seeing eye, or the great God of unity, at the very top, the great God of love. And all this filtered down to the family of nations. This will make the pyramid complete. Or should I say the theocracy or theocratic government. So the word government is of supreme importance. Without this, you ain't got nothing coming. And it's the only thing that the United States, even though it's a corporation, it's the government is the only thing that another government is bound to respect. No government on earth respects the Negro. You can hide behind Masonicism, Christianity, Moorish science, Islamism, and you can have all these things all you want to. But if you don't have a firm government established amongst yourselves, bearing a free national name and a flag and land and everything, then you ain't got nothing coming but some more pain. I'm talking about the slavery of pain, that real pain. And we're talking about the pain that the Hebrew slave wouldn't stand a snowball chance in enduring. Okay, so as the American slaves had, those who were slaves, or us who were slaves in America, had any kind of sense left at all after being hit in the head so hard, if you had anything left at all, then common sense ought to say, well, look, out of whatever I had to go through the last 520 years, I don't want no more of that. And all of it leads to the fact that you were nationless, and you was without a government, and you were powerless. And that's what you'll always be, is powerless, without you having to formulate amongst yourselves a government, proving that you are a nation of people. And this is extends beyond the powers of any organization. That's why the Moorish Science Temple could not have fulfilled the duties of Noble Dru Ali, fulfilled the duties of a prophet, because although it had the teachings of the prophet founded the Moorish Science Temple in the United States within the powers of the United States. But the Moorish Science Temple is not a government. It's not a nation of people. So that means that you have to be something more than an organization. You got to be something greater than a group or a gang or a personal feeling. You got to put the little cliques over here. And there are other little groups of Moors that stress the nationality and descendant nature of everything. New Wabians and Washitas and what have you. But that does not include all 60 million of us that has, including them, who call themselves Washita, New Wabians, et cetera. Because if you have been in the United States, which is the ruling power, make no mistake about it, you can talk about how much you own the land all you want to. You got so-called Indians, tribes that own certain territory, so they say. But if the United States don't acknowledge you as a government with your own constitution, as a tribal recognized nation of people, you ain't got nothing coming. It's just a corporation still, but it's controlled and ruled by the military. So they got some kind of power, which is more to say than nationless people ain't got nothing. No kind of power. So the word government was brought to us, not as a secret, but under a disguised cover of religion that Noble Dru Ali, as he prepared the table before his people in the very presence of the United States. And he did that in such a way that only the conscious people could recognize what it is that he brought to them. If you have sleep, you must run and call Noble Dru Ali everything from a Negro to a Mason and miss all your blessings. But the word government is right there in your face, right in his constitution. A lot of people look at the constitution and say, well, that's the divine constitution of Moorish Science Temple. Oh, my goodness. And yet and still, the duty of a prophet says that he come to save us as a nation of people, not an organization. And so he's made that separation in Act 5 of his divine constitution alone, even if it's the Moorish Science Temple's version. That this organization of the Moorish Science Temple of America, this is a quote, this organization of the Moorish Science Temple of America is not to cause any confusion, because you ain't never an organization anyway, or to overthrow the laws and constitution of the Moorish American government. It says that right there in Act 5. Okay? Well, the said government, it's the same. The only government that's been said anything about in Act 1 is the Grand Sheik and the Chairman. And the sister grand, seeking the grand body, the prophet, the principal, and the Moorish Americans. Okay, that's a government right there. Anyway, you get me crunk up real early, Mo. What's the question?
Okay, well, I'm glad you cleared the air on that because I have I get many calls from people across the United States wanting to know from me. Is there a temple in their area that they can join? And I don't know anything about a temple because, in my opinion, I think Noble Dru Ali told us to contribute to the uplifting of humanity. And if you are uplifting of humanity and you are busy doing that, you won't have very much time to sit inside a building every day. Because we got 60 million moles and all of them are not in the building. So I don't have any place to send them other than to register with the Moorish American government and have them dial into the national conference call that's held 7 days a week Eastern Standard Time, and where we are able to have a temple gathering right there, opposed to going in, sitting in a building someplace and on a daily basis. Now, I want to let's get the whole importance of this nationality. I mean, why is it today, in this day and age, with the aftermath of all the storms and stuff that is occurring and earthquakes and turmoil on the earth, why is it so important today for people of African descent to proclaim their nationality?
Well, that's probably explained best by Noble Drew Ali. He said to proclaim your nationality before the government in which you live. That's right there in Act 6 of his Divine Constitution bylaws. And by that, it means that there's a lot of organizations out today, including the Verse Moore Science Temple, which they just concluded having 8 different national conventions in Chicago. 6 was in September, and another 2 was in October. That's just too many conventions for one organization to have. So that let you know right there that since 1929, 82 years, the Moore Science Temple has not saved. And I'm not speaking negative. Please don't misunderstand this, okay? I'm speaking on behalf, because I'm the number one defender of Noble Drew Ali. So in his defense, the Moore Science Temple has not saved not one soul since Noble Drew Ali left the body. Nobody. And they got the power to at least send at least 60 million people to their salvation. But they haven't did it, and the reason why, because they have been taken down, back down under into the shallow grave by Western Freemasonry. That is what, and I know because I was there from 1969 to 1997. Right there, all the time. My dues are paid up 3 years in advance when I left, and I left because of them. So the thing about it is that, again, I'm not speaking negative, but the thing about it is that it's my people that I'm concerned about. This is what Noble Drew Ali came for, and that's what I stand in defense for. If we got 60 million people, and it doesn't make a dime worth of difference to me if the Moore Science Temple was a pope. If you stand in the way of my people's salvation, I'm going to talk about you like the dirt that you are, because you are the dirt that's the body's got to be exhumed. So you're covering up the body because you don't want it to be exhumed. You don't want the body to live. You don't want the nation of people to come into existence. You don't want them to formulate amongst themselves a government. These are things you do not want. And when you proclaim your nationality, which is your last question, then this is what you must do. Proclaim your nationality before a group or a club or some other private clique. That don't mean a darn thing. Nothing. You can go before the courts of the United States and proclaim your nationality. Again, it's like going to the outhouse. It don't mean anything. The United States do not have the power to free you as a nation of people. They just don't have it. And if you were real wise, you don't want them to have that kind of power. Not over you, not the second time. So when you proclaim your nationality, the best way to do that and the only way to do that is like every other citizen in the world, when they proclaim their citizenship or their nationality, where do they get their powers from? From the government in which they live. Chinese don't mean a doggone thing without China. That's what we're talking about. If you want to see an upright standing Chinese, no matter where he may be in the world, you can bet your bottom dollar, I don't care how many restaurants you go to, he's still going to be a Chinese. He's proclaiming himself. Why? To the government of China. Within that government, his heritage is there, his descendant nature is there, his above all, his sovereign power is there to give him the right to say, look, I'm a Chinese. Ain't nothing you can do about it. That's power. That's power. When you jump up and call yourself a black person or Afro-American, people can challenge that and change it. Well, ain't no such thing as an African-American. That's 2 continents. I want to know what country you come from. What flag is yours? Well, my flag is the Moroccan flag. Oh, then what Morocco do? How can Morocco turn you into slaves there? Why did they catch you and sell you to the United States? If that's Morocco is your flag. Okay? So it's all these things. When you proclaim, that means you're taking possession and giving accountability of what belongs to you, not what belongs to Morocco. Morocco ain't got nothing for you that you really need. Nothing. How can they? And they're the one that sold you into slavery. If you don't believe me, read the treaty that they made with George Washington. What's that, 1787, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Okay? So when you proclaim your nationality, it don't mean nothing if you don't proclaim it before the government, the Moorish American government in which you live. because that's the only place that you're going to be able to live in the first place. No other place, no other government can give you life. The United States don't have the power to give a Moorish American life. Morocco don't have the power. Ghana, Turkey, Nigeria, China. It don't make no difference. Go any country you want to. Under the UK, go to, back to the British rule, France, anywhere. None of them has got the power to make you a, for you to be a Moorish American. But your government do. You know why? The reason why you can proclaim your nationality for your government, because not only do you do the government give you power, you also give the government power to give back to yourself. It's reciprocal. That's the way it works. What would China be without Chinese? See what I'm saying? So the Moorish American government wouldn't be nothing without Moorish Americans. It's the same thing. At the same time, when you reverse it, if you want to see how much sovereignty or sovereign power you got, like some of these groups out here selling sovereignty now, then all you got to do is look at yourself as being exiled from a particular tribe, being exiled from your tribe or your nation or your government. You're like, get out of here. You ain't even Chinese no more. Get out of here. You're nothing no more. You ain't not Cherokee no more. Get out of here and tell me what's going to happen to you now that you're out there in the world without a nation, no sovereign power to protect you, no government to proclaim that's going to protect you, nothing. Then you out there, and you go swell your chest up talking about, I'll go in the court, and I'm commercial lien, I'll place UCC, and you got it coming, da-da-da-da-da. But meanwhile, you stand there, and you ain't got a pair of drawers on your butt of freedom, nothing, no government to protect you, nothing, but you're going to slap the lion in the mouth with red meat, tell him he better not bite because he ain't got no jurisdiction over you. Meanwhile, you've been exiled out of the tribe, out of the nation. You're a Negro. You're a nationless. Same thing. So all these Moors that call themselves Moors and Mirrors and whatnot, if you haven't formulated yourself a nation, a government, under your own power, under your one free national name, you're still a Negro. Believe that. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm saying it because I love you. That's why I'm saying it, because ain't nobody else going to tell you the truth. Your leaders won't tell you. Your grand sheiks won't tell you. Your assistants, your secretary won't, none of them tell you. But the prophet will, and President B got his back. And I'll tell you straight up, you ain't nothing if you're not a nation of people with your own government under your own free national name, with your own flag. And I'm not talking about the flag of Morocco or the United States. A lot of them would run up to the UN with that foolishness, five or six different flags, and claim a country that's already got a seat at the UN. I'm a Moorish American. See, the flag of Morocco and the flag of the United States. Police, excuse me? Who authorized you to wave either one of them flags? And then again, on the other hand, I might be wrong here, but wasn't the United States the one that enslaved you under their own constitution? Under the same flag that you now waving, talking about you a citizen of the United States? How the world you going to make property a nationless people citizen? And they ain't even got no naturalization powers at all. And they ain't even a citizen of their own government. Takabe, you did it again.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Granddaddy Sheriff, but I just think this got to be said. It just got to be dealt with. I'm sorry. Because
how you gonna find out? Because people hate Pleasant Bay, man. Because I'm gonna tell you the truth. That's what a lot of Moors, they hate Pleasant Bay. They talk about me like I ain't a spirit and child of Allah. But guess what? The Allah and the Prophet got me, and I've been got my freedom. So it don't matter what powerless people have to say about me, because it don't mean anything.
No, that's right. Well, one thing I found out after examination of all the prophets in the past, they have always had opposition. And the most severe opposition in a lot of cases came from right in their own house. And so... you know, I must be doing something wrong. Because if I wasn't doing something right, then I wouldn't have nobody bothering me. So that's the way I look.
I know the feeling well.
But anyway, what would it take let me put it in another way. What would happen to the lives of so-called Negroes, coloreds, African Americans, Afro-Americans, black people, and I'm going to reserve reservation for the next name that we may attempt to call ourselves, if we unified under one family name? What could you paint a picture for us if that happened?
I have no problem with that if your audience can handle it. The thing about in regard to the question as to what would happen to the lives of the so-called nationless people, these Negroes and Afro-Americans and nationless Moors, too. I got to throw them in there, too. And blacks, if they are not unified in one family name. Okay. Does the word genocide ring a bell?
Okay.
Okay. Let me define the word genocide. A bunch of people, pale-skinned people, came here, was brought here actually by Africans. And within a matter of a century or two, they began killing everything that wasn't a pale-skinned people. There was pretty close to our record says, pretty close to over 2,000 different tribes of so-called Indians. Different, you know, had their own free national name and everything. But they're not here now. I think at the very most, I think right now you got about 82 different tribes that's distinguishable, that's left. Okay? And the reason why, because even that the islands is the same thing, like Jamaica. It was the Arawaks that inhabited the islands before the European came. But now they kill all of them, every last one of them. And we've replenished the island as they did most of the 7,000 islands in the Caribbean. They replenished it with slaves, Moors, that they had stolen from West Africa. And that's called genocide. When you wipe out a whole tribe or family or nation of people, there was a lot of Italian gang people that took up this habit a little. When they got mad at you, they go to take out your whole family. So they couldn't be, couldn't trace itself. They'd be mad at one person, they take out the whole family, okay? And again, that's genocide. So there's no such thing as small scale genocide. Genocide is when you take out a family, a nation, or tribe of people. Take them out. Okay. The nationless Moors, all 60 million, are the only people on earth right now that are so gullible, so defenseless, and ignorant that they are prime target for genocide. I mean, for the plate on the table of genocide. Because, number one, there's not another nation on earth that will come in their defense. There's not another people on earth that will say, no, stop killing them. Okay? They don't have any military support, no reserve. They got no army, navy. They got no base. They got no weapons. I'm not talking a little 22s and 40, and shotguns and little things you run around the streets of Chicago and New York with killing each other. We're not talking about that's not weapons. Okay? That's like having a slingshot and you stand in the middle of a missile silo. That's weapons. When you got submarines offshore that can take out a whole community at will. Okay? I'm talking about 15, 20 blocks at a bomb. And then you got all these. This is what's going to happen, okay? If you don't believe me, go to your computer, go to your internet, look up on the FEMA, look on the concentration camps, okay? Look up under these chattel cars that's on the railroad, brand new, over 300,000 brand new, with nothing but shackles and chains in them for human cargo. They got disposable coffins scattered throughout, millions of them scattered throughout the country. But knowing our people, they're so silly, they think it's for the Mexicans. Oh, you know, there was a flyby. They were trying to go over the wall out of Mexico, and they caught, they had to run back. And so, but that's who the concentration camps are for. You don't need 800 concentration camps for people that got their own country and their own government, their own flag and history. You don't need concentration camps for that. So when it comes down to the word you used was unified, okay? I want to change that word, you know, if they unify under one family name, because that to be denationalized, this is one of the things that's causing this unification amongst the Moors, okay? Because under old Willie Lynch idea, this is where the concept came in. I don't like you because you tall. I don't like you because you short. I don't like Pleasant Bay because he said he this and he took the Quran and he did that. I don't like the sister so-and-so. Meanwhile, you sound just like two inmates in a prison cell arguing over the toilet. And meanwhile, the door wide open and warden left in 1865. And you still there arguing over prison issue. What difference does it make? What does it mean? When somebody, it takes a poor turkey to see the man sharpening the axe and he going to lay his own neck on the doggone block. There's something wrong with that bird, something real wrong. So when you get to talk about genocide, then you have to look at your options. What choice do you have to prevent genocide? This is the master question of the day. You can't blame the United States for being the United States. Even if you do have the a divine man in the White House, okay? Drew Ali put Obama in the White House, but the Moors don't even recognize it. He's a divine minister, and his wife Michelle is a divine minister also, of the government. But they can't do nothing without the people. The reason why I know the divine minister, I'm the one that sent the divine minister papers, ordained them myself. And gave the national identification card for the two little girls also. Because the Obama don't have no history of slavery in his family, but his wife and his daughters do. Because they were born under the 14th Amendment. But they're waiting on the Moors, those that's facing genocide. Because Obama's now got to turn in the United States to the UN because he's the security chief of the council at the United Nations. The man got a Nobel Peace Prize. Wasn't even offered a year, Holly. Okay? What is that telling you when Noble Drew Ali can prophesy back in 1925 that the day was going to come when Obama would be in the White House and Biden would be his assistant, be the vice president? And his words exactly around the year 2000, it'd be a Asiatic president and a European for vice president. Now, if that ain't Obama and Biden, I don't know what it is. But where's the people at? So it's important, Mo, that you have this particular call. And, I hope you play it all day. I hope you play it back until they get the message, because they don't have a leg to stand on and nothing to back them up with. Our people still think they can run to the Moors. They can run in out the European courts and charge all kinds of things. But you're going to have to stop this war. What good does it do? You've been running out of this European court, telling them they ain't got no jurisdiction over you. You can do 85 and a miles an hour in a school zone, and they better not do nothing to you. But at the same time, you ain't got no backup. How long do you think it take a Mason to realize, wait a minute, he's using the right words. He say he's free. He say he's a Moorish American. He say he's national. And we really don't have the jurisdiction because he's a – but then when you look around and you ain't got no government, you haven't got the decency and the love in your heart to show that you care so much about yourself and your people that you're going to unify and come together. Lawfully now, under one free national name. This is legal. It ain't like you out there being no terrorists. Are you trying to destroy something? No, the United States and everybody else is waiting on you to get your act together, because if you don't, they're going to kill you, little high pop. And ain't nobody going to miss you. But guess what? There's another spirit that's in the ethers now, okay? There's another spirit. There's a whole bunch of children that's going to be born as a result of this, even if they take you out, okay? And they're going to be the nation that's going to take the other nations to the top. Yep, I've seen that too. So what I'm saying more is, when it comes down to unification, it's only one way to do it. You must save yourself. And this is the same thing the United States had to do. Remember when they were the colonies under the British rule and they wanted to break away? What the first thing they had to do, even after they won the Revolutionary War, what was the first thing they had to do? They had to formulate from amongst themselves the government. And what did they do? They wrote the Declaration of Independence. This was before they wrote the Constitution of the United States, which was an inevitable thing to show they had a government in which they could live. So the Moors did the same thing. We wrote the Declaration, Proclamation of Sachem, Duras, the Moors of America, put it in the book. Noble Dwali, the exhuming of a nation, put on the websites, the Seven Seals Publications.com and the Moors American Gov.org. Put on both websites, put it out there everywhere so the Moors could declare their independence. It's already been done. We just put the pictures out on the internet. Again, that was taken way back 2007. At the United Nations, everybody's aware that we're here but us. Okay? Everybody. So you can't blame Brother Africa, Bada Bay, or the Zulu Moors. They're getting ready to create another flag. They're getting ready to make another flag. Okay? To represent the Zulus and the Moors, whatever the case may be. But it's not 60 million Zulus. It's not 60 million Wasata. It's not 60 million Cherokees. But there's 60 million Moorish Americans. And you don't have that one free national name, you ain't got nothing coming. You can call yourself a Muhammadan, whatever, all you want to. It ain't going to mean jack. Have all the flags you can make in the world. It ain't going to mean a doggone thing. When the tanks and rail and they get rolling down the street, and your own brothers that's in the military is going to kill you. Either that, or you're going to have to assume the position one. Believe that now. Mo, was that your question anyway? I know I meant the unified. Oh, that one free national name, the family name. That's the family name. We are the children of one father. Ava, one family of Moorish Americans. Moorish because the name, the first part of your name, shows your descendant nature that you have with your ancient forefathers. This is the conglomerate name that comes from the ancient Moabites, Canaanites, and Hamathites. When you put them three tribes together, the first family on earth, then you got what is called the Moorish. We are the founders of all the kingdoms of Northwest, Southwest Africa, every last one of them. And not only that, but we paved the way here, the Americas, and brought the Canaanites up here. You call them Indians. We're the one that brought them here. Throughout the whole South America, Central America, and the adjoining islands, we're the ones that did it. And we're also the one that, when it comes down to linking ourselves with the nation of the earth, guess who? All we got to do is say the Moorish Americans are here. And did you know all our children nations that we created, including Morocco, Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Ghana, they all want to come to us. Why? Because we are the mothers and fathers. That's how silly we look. How would your parent look out there and they didn't got become such a crackhead, they don't even remember you as a child? That's how silly we look. We've been hitting the head so hard on the Western Freemasonry that we think because we've been to the European University, we think we don't need no this and don't need no. But guess what? If you don't have no freedom, no free national name, or your own government, your own free national name, if you're not unified with enough love in your heart for yourself and your people, you're going to die. Brother Tahaka, go ahead, next question, Mo.
Okay, Glenn, National Chairman. I certainly appreciate you giving us that information. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are just tuning in, you can register with the Moorish American Government at www.moorishamericangov.org, and go ahead at that time and place your name and all your information in there, all of your family members' names, your sons, your daughters, your grandmothers, uncles, cousins, aunts, everybody is to be listed there, and then go ahead and click send so that you will be registered with the Moorish American Government. And we're going to ask the Grand National Chairman to give us the number. I didn't have added into the advertisement this time. I don't know what I was thinking about, that chairman, but I didn't get it in there. And but before we do, I also want to add, for those of you who just tuning in, that we're dealing with energy and nationhood, and I'm going to get the Grand National Chairman to address that coming up.
Okay,
my the phone ringing at the same time. Sorry. What was the question now?
Okay, I was going to ask you if you'd be kind enough to give us the call-in number for the national conference call. I didn't write that down. If you have that handy, would you give the audience that so they can call in to the national conference call that's held 7 days a week at starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. All right. The number is for the conference call, and every day is at the same time between 7:30 and 8 o'clock for registration. All classes start at 8 o'clock East Coast time. And the number for all classes is 760-569-7100. And the access code would be 437-966-pound. Again, the number is, the master number is 760-569-7100. And then the access code would be 437-966-pound. And we have a line of seven very informative and educational classes 7 days a week. And the reason why, because Drew Ali says, up to the Moorish America to teach the Moorish America how to be Moorish America. So you got to be taught, because you don't know. It's been so long since we've been free, we don't know what to do with freedom. It was the kisses in the mouth. So you got to be taught. And we are a sacred, holy, clean, and pure nation of people. And to take these holy instructions, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about those things that come natural to us, because we are gods. That's why. So I encourage everyone to please tune in. Tonight's the children's night on Thursday. Friday, the whole day services. Saturday, you had the most respect for everyone tuning in, can give their concept and ideas of what's taking place. On Sunday, then you have the master chapter for the week, in which we give the holy instruction for a holy people. And then on Monday, that's my class again. That's where we have the state of the nation, where we cover everything from the United Nations to everything that we have to do for being free as a nation of people. On Tuesday, then you have the Moorish goddesses and queens and empresses. They are the ones that have the class on Tuesdays. And although there are more brothers on there than sisters, they still run it, believe that. Then on Wednesday, we have the Department of Herb Health and Healing, where the Moors are discussing everything. And we got professional masters, most of my sisters, that demonstrate with anything that they cure anything that you wasn't born with. And that's the way the prophet designed it. So that's our schedule for the week. So I'm glad you asked the question, too, Mo. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Grand National Chairman, before we go further, I have a couple of callers that is in queue here, and I want to open up a line or two before I go to the next question, if you would. Area code 229. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment? Area code 229.
It's praise Allah. On the prophet.
Praise Allah, Mo.
Justice L. Bay calling from Americas, Georgia. And before I get to my question, my nationality is Moorish American. My divine creed of Islam is my race is Asiatic, meaning earthbound, connected to the land. And yes, I am a citizen of the Moorish American government. Master Teacher, you talk about the question that's being passed on, sir. So you talk about a government. Well, Let me just say a few things to you, sir. I got about $250 million in the bank. I own about 50 acres of land.
I'm the technician who is working on a computer. Yes, sir, would like to...
Hold on, that's the second place. Keep on talking, I'll get back with you.
Yeah, just confirm your password, which you have entered above.
Okay, it's done.
Okay, so please wait. I'll do this for you. And also would like to... Please wait. Yes, sir. Also would like to tell you... See...
Go ahead, Justice. But hold on a minute. But Brother Elbey, I got a technician on the other line with my computer. It's going to take me about another 5 minutes. So if you carry on the class until I get back, I'll be right there with you. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, Grand National Chairman, no problem. Okay, my brother from America's Georgia, go ahead on.
Before I get started, what I want to say, let me say this first.
I have
about $100 million in the bank.
I have
about 300 or 400 acres of land. Well known in Hollywood. Matter of fact, I had dinner with the vice president, the two former presidents, Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, and looking forward to meet Barack Obama Monday. And I don't have a problem with the United States, and everybody treat me well, especially the white folks. And you said the thing, and you asked the thing. You keep saying the thing about we need a government, and everything's going well for myself and my five children, my wife and friends and associates. Why is it that I need a government? So why you keep saying that we need a government, us black people?
You can. In future, if you face any problem, then you can call us back again anytime.
Brother,
thank you so much.
Question. Let me mute.
Connect to my supervisor for the feedback. Please wait. Please hold for a minute. Andy?
Okay, are you there, Mo?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
The brother's question was, why do we need a government? He said he's doing quite well. He has a nice amount of money. He owns land and property, and he's met with the president, and he's going to be meeting with the current president of the United States shortly. So why is it that we need a government?
Oh, well, for number one, he don't own a darn thing. No such thing as property owning anything, okay? He's under an illusion, strictly an illusion, nothing more. He don't own anything that cannot be taken away from him at will, and it will be. Because the United States itself is a corporation. It can't even have citizens. This is why it's got to go before the United Nations. So what we're interested in now is don't get caught up. Oprah Winfrey got billions of dollars. One of the richest sisters, but she's still a slave. She's still property. And it can be taken away the same way it came to her. It can be taken away at will. The same people that gave it to her can take it from her. She don't have no government to protect her and no one to support her. None. Although she's going to Africa, she did a lot of things, good things with her money, but the thing about it is she still don't have any protection. That's what the power of government have. Sovereign power means protection. Okay. Are you there?
Okay. I'm here.
All right, Grand National Chairman.
Right now, I have a conference call on the other line, and I can't talk to you. So, would you put everything back on my computer, and I'll get back with you tomorrow, okay?
So, shall we go ahead and close the case for today if it has been done?
Yeah, go ahead and close everything for today, and I'll contact you tomorrow. Thanks, I appreciate everything.
Bye-bye, and take care, sir.
Thank you. Okay, Mom, so I'm back.
Okay, I'm on. Before I go to the next caller at 954, I'm going to go back and open up the brother's line again to see if that answer was satisfactory.
Islam, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Yes, sir. I understand. I just one other question, though, sir. Well, really, I guess it's a statement and a question at the same time, I guess. But they just said on the news yesterday, sir, that the three-fifth clause for the slaves was to balance. Right here on the national news during the discussing the hurricane issues and the way things are moving in the country, they said the three-fifths is used to balance things between the North and the South. Today that they were trying to control or continue to keep people in slavery. But that's what they said. As a matter of fact, the European himself said, if you don't believe me, look at the Constitution yourself.
Okay, that's what your ancestors said?
No, this is what the Europeans said yesterday on the news. This is what the Europeans said.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He said the three-fifths is being used. I guess my question is, What did he mean? Because this is a question being passed on. I understand what I'm saying. I know the Grand National Chamber are busy briefly, and I respect that. But these are questions.
No, I'm with you now. Go ahead.
So the three-fifths was said on national news yesterday, the European citizens said the three-fifths were used to balance things between the North and the South. That's why the three-fifths were put into the Constitution. And he went further to say, if you don't believe me, read it yourself. That's what he said. My thing, how do you respond to that?
Okay.
Since that you tell us that we need a government, sir. We black people need a government.
Well, black people can't have a government. This can be proved by the Dred Scott decision. And the reason why is because then the black people, in other words, nation of people is a non-existent people. If you are nationless, if you don't have any nation that you can call your own, and our people cannot call the United States their own, because the United States, if you think about it for a minute, if somebody asks you, what's your nationality? What you going to say? I'm a United States. That don't even sound right. If someone asks a Chinese, what's your nationality? The name of the people and the name of the country sound the same. So the United States is not on that national level. So therefore, whenever they speak about the three-fifth clause, they can call it anything they want to. At this time, they won't tell you that the word person, as used in the 14th Amendment, means commercial property. The three-fifth clause, if you're going to be three-fifths of all other persons, what is that? That's constitutional law. What is that telling you? If you are three-fifths of all other persons, point blank, that lets you know that you're two-fifths short of all other persons. Something all other persons got that you are short of at least by two-fifths. So it doesn't matter how they want to describe it. They can call it a new voting rights amendment if they want to, but it's not going to change the status. Where was the so-called, well, let me put it this way, where were the Negroes when the Constitution of the United States was written? Where was the so-called Negro colored people and black people, where was they at? How much power did they have to make a constitutional law or an amendment? Where was they at? When it comes down to writing all the amendments, all the Constitution, where were the so-called black people at this time? So this right here lets you know, or even with the treaty, between Morocco and the United States. You got a lot of Moors today hollering about, we got a treaty with the United States. The slaves don't write treaties. Negroes and black people and other nations of people are slaves. Make no mistake about it. You can dress it up and call it, I'm an African-American politician, voting. I got the voting rights. Just think about it, Moors. All you got to do is wake the heck up. This includes everybody that's on this call. You need to wake up before and realize that your neck is the one that you don't want to put your own neck on the block by defending the very people that's going to cut your head off. And again, we're not speaking negative. We're speaking in defense. You need some kind of defense. You got no protection. You had no protection. Ain't got a decent pair of drawers on your butt in the last 520 years that you can claim your own. You even dress like other people tell you to dress. You don't even have your own designer. No, you ain't got no clothes of your own. You don't even feed yourself. You got no food of your own. Nothing. You ain't got no education, no school to take your children to, nothing. No national pride, no dignity, nothing. And you want to imitate the very people that enslaved you. I think you got problems. I think you got issues. So I'm with you now. I've got rid of these technicians, so I'm with you now. Go ahead.
Okay, Grand National Chairman. We got another caller that's been on the line a while. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line and see what his call is before we go a little further. Area code 954. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question and comment?
This is Janet Wigley from Miami, Florida. How's everyone tonight?
Well, we just fine, Janet.
What's That's good. Mind? Yes, I rise first and give honor to the Father God Allah. And I give honor to you and the speaker we have here tonight, the Grand National Chairman. My question is, how do we pay our dues? And you did mention that we can register online, but I have been listening to the conference calls every day, and I find them to be very uplifting. And it's like a meal. If you didn't eat all day and you come on that conference call, it's like you're full. You never come off. You just feel the love and you get all the answers you need. So I can never stop coming on the conference calls. But right now I don't feel like I know enough to, like, register, pay my dues and stuff like that. So that's what I want to know. How do I do that?
The main thing, well, I'll address the due issue first as far as the dues are concerned, because that's a word that the prophet used in the divine constitution, because he wants us to learn how to support our government.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we get used to it in the church because people say, I ain't seen a church that didn't have a building funny, even if it was brand new. And but when it comes down to supporting the government, I found that through the experience, they're not too quick to step up to the plate to do that. Now, so what we do, we are those who are divine ministers, who are officials, if they are able to do so, then we place the dues responsibility on our officials once you become
okay.
a divine minister. So, and what we do with that, we say, well, if you're a divine minister and you're able to do so, because see, there's different ways to serve your government, okay? Financially, if you're able to do so, and you're a divine minister, which means an official of the government, because you do have a theocratic government, and in order to be an official, then you must be a divine minister, okay?
Okay.
Then we let divine ministers show the way for the citizen. So we don't have citizens. We don't have any dues. If they are able, they want to make a contribution, fine. But right now, the responsibility is on the officials to show the way so that they will not be asking citizens to do something they themselves have never done.
Okay.
So we're going to lead by examples. So when it comes down to services, this too, we got a lot of divine ministers that's on fixed income. Otherwise, they won't have the $50 a month to contribute. Okay. And if you got a consulate, then if you got over five divine ministers in your area, then $25 a state for support of your consulate, and the other 25 will come here and support headquarters. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we don't have anything for the citizens per se right now, other than voluntary or contributions like that. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Now, when it comes down to the government, I want to thank you for participating in the conference calls. I've noticed when you check in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But our intention is to build this nation with the help of the male, let them build their own government, build their own nation. We provide the laws and the love, and it's up to you to provide the labor.
Okay.
In other words, the service.
Thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't charge for our conference calls.
Okay.
Okay, Grand National Chairman.
Yes. Did I answer all the questions? I thought you had two.
Oh. Let me go back and open up that line again. Have you answered all your questions?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much. Thanks.
All right. Grand Master Chairman, I want to deal with the subject of tonight's topic. Could you explain the energy in regards to nationhood? Give us a little more detail on that energy in regards to nationhood.
I was looking at that word when you spoke about that, the energies. And first of all, I want to, because we had a little situation with this word, because we have feminine energies, you got masculine energies. So let me speak on that first, and then I'll get directed to your question, okay? I want you just to identify this word, this energy thing, okay? Now, when it comes down to it, and what number was that? Was that the first one?
Energy.
Yeah, I saw it on it somewhere. Oh, yeah, energy and neighborhood. I see it now. Okay, nationhood. When it comes down to the energies, energy is a power, okay, no matter where it comes from. If you're talking about masculine energies, feminine energies, these are powers. And oftentimes, these are powers that are related to the five ruling planets or other things in the atmosphere, stratosphere, whatever. Okay, like the moon got certain powers, like we're just undergoing right now, and a few days ago, a full moon. And as a result of that, the tides are heavier. They come more closer to inland than when it's not a full moon. The women's menstrual cycle is more likely to appear during the time of a full moon than not. It has effects on the body fluid. But these are powers. These are energies. Okay? And Dwali tells us about power and tells us about energies, that they are the result of force. But once they have served themselves, spent themselves, then the powers, the energies, cease to be. So this means that, as he's described in the Quran, there's a power in the eye. There's a power in the lightning stroke. There's a power in the arm. But when these things have served their power, when these powers have served themselves, then they cease to be. Okay? So we don't want to get caught up in these so-called energies, because these things, they're temporary. The time is going to come when they didn't exist. The time is going to come when they're going to not exist again. For example, we describe ourselves as being gods. Okay, but on the level of gods, there is no feminine energy. There's no masculine energy. There's no such thing as a he god or a she god. Okay? God don't come in. This is a part of the fall when you get to talking about positive and negative, feminine and masculine, and these are all a part of the fall. This is dealing with what they call the world of duality. In the world of duality, they're created by, you got like the higher self and you got the lower self. But one of these is an illusion. It's like a shadow of the existing self. It really appears. It's got a head like the real thing. It's got a mouth like the real thing, but it can't say nothing. It's got ears, but it can't hear nothing. So one is like an illusion. So energies, these powers, these are illusions. They're temporary. You, on the other hand, is everlasting. Why? Because you're infinite. There was a time where the energies did not exist. The powers did not exist. So therefore, there's going to be a time when they're going to not exist again. But on the other hand, never was there a time when you as God did not exist. You've always been. So I just want to clear that up when I saw the word energy, because we was having it as a subject matter, okay, a little earlier, and I just wanted to identify that the distinction between, so because a lot of brothers get caught up with sisters on the feminine energy because they want to have a matriarchal society. Then you got others that talk about how women are going to rule the world, and it's time enough for the feminine energy to take over with the planet because the planets are lining up. This is bull crap. Okay, it doesn't mean that the energies are not there. It's true. But what does that say about you being God? For example, I was born physically under the sign of what is called the Leo. Well, okay, And for a long time, I tried to master that, being a master lion, a king of the beast, you know, growl. Okay, but at the same time, at the very best that I could ever be was to do what? Be a master beast at my very best. And, you know, depending on what I did, my own claws and paws, but that's the best that I could be. I could be a master crab, or so I might make a few steps forward and a few steps back, a couple to the side, but that's what crabs do. Or you want to be a master ram or a master scorpion, but these are energy, these are powers. This is not the real you. Now, when it comes down to the real me, I am the Circle Seven. Why? Because the circle is the perfect symbol, and seven is the perfect number. So I can relate to that, okay? Now I can strive towards something that is demonstrating me as a perfected one. In my perfected state, I'm God. Me and God are one. Me and love are one. Me and truth are one, okay? That's in my perfected state. But if I keep thinking that I'm a doggone beast, then I'll never become God because I'm looking at the wrong symbol. So these are energies. These are powers. And we've got to realize that we are above the power. In fact, we are the one that created them in the first place. So therefore, you would look real strange being a creator of something and then you fall victim to a circumstance. That's like having a children and then the children end up telling you what to do. What kind of parent is that? The child now telling you what to do. The child now ruling you. So I wanted to speak about that part, Brother Bay, because of these. I didn't want to misunderstand about the energy. I want the Moors to realize that Drew Ali said that we are a pure and clean nation. In other words, we're gods. And his very first question in the question, I say, who made you? And the answer is Allah. The word Allah means the great God. Okay. There's no masculine or feminine. You're from the loins of your father, from the womb of your mother, you attract a whole lot of weaknesses. Okay? But the one that gave you the power to think and reason and comprehend and the spirit to move with, that's a whole nother level. That don't go to the ground because it didn't come from the dust. So I just wanted to speak on that. Okay? So anything
okay.
else, Al? You speak about nationhood, right? Did I answer the question? Well, I got caught up in that word energy. You know, I just wanted to let the more know that don't get caught up on that which is going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
We got too much strength within us. You know, it's like, you know, when you meet a sister, a woman that you look to bring the God for the God that's in her. They'll be looking at the size of a butt and all. This is the Western concept. You know, that's energy. You know, if your energy can't find the more than your energy is in the behind. Oh, the mind is in the behind. There you go.
Well, you know, we got a lot of us that's going to have to learn how to start dealing with the sisters from the shoulders up first. And we can learn that. I think we can make a little bit more progress, but we target things the wrong way and go in backwards at it, and then when it don't work out, then we got a problem. But anyway, that's another show. So we'll get to that one later.
Okay.
I want to go back a little bit, but before I do, for those, because I see we got some new people coming in here, for those of you who are just tuning in, we are listening to Dr. Elihu Pleasant Bay, author of Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, and the Book of Ali, and also the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government. And the title of our topic of conversation is Energy and Nationhood, and we're trying to cover all of the bases. I also want to say for those of you who are on your social sites, I've been kicked off there again on a regular basis. For those of you who like to befriend me and get a hold of the articles and stuff that I post for your education, just send a friend request to Tahaka Amana L. Bay on Facebook, and then you'll be able to get in there. To access my library, you simply contact me, area code 904-303-9061. Before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you in there. And don't hesitate to send from a free article, The 14th Amendment Exposed to Commerce Game, as well as the History of the United States to Tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll rush that to you. Grand National Chairman, I want to go backwards a little bit because you did mention the word denationalized, and I want to try to get some clarity on that. And the question is, did the making of Negroes, colored, and blacks happen through the process of denationalization in the United States? How did that go, and could you elaborate on that for us, please?
Yeah, that denationalization is a terrible word, but it brings to bear that, because I always put Drawley out front. I guess maybe that's why I'm the number one defender. But in his Quran, he says that no man has the power to change man from the decent nature, from his decent nature, okay, unless his power extends beyond the great creator, universal creator, Allah himself. So that means that man really don't have the power to change you from the descendant nature of your forefathers. So when denationalization became what seemed like a fact, it was just the divine energies of slavery that had been introduced, in which we ourselves, by us being so close to the Creator, because we got all our teachings right out. Oh man, we founded Egypt with these divine teachings. Okay, we were more God than human. Let's put it like that. Okay, we just a subject to be anywhere in the universe and to be on Earth, because it really didn't matter. But the thing about it is that what we have to look at now is when it comes to denationalization, this was a term that was later put into the Latin language, that was put into the law effects of the Western laws, when they found out that to strip the Moors and Africa of its powers was to, you had to change the name. Once they were subdued, then whatever they were before this subjugation, then they changed the name of it. So they started with, let's just say Egypt, for example. Egypt is not the true and divine name. The actual name was Kemet. Okay? But today you would hardly recognize, unless you studied well, you would not recognize the term Kemet. Laxo, as they went across Africa, they began to change the name of everything. I mean, even Turkey, which is Istanbul, everything the European put their name or conquered, they changed the name of it. Even Morocco to Morocco, it was never really Morocco. But the European, Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, it was maybe what we called it. But they had holy names. And the name that we name things, whenever we name something, we gave it a divine origin. So whatever we call it, for example, we created the kangaroo. We went all inside the whole animal, its constitution, and when we came out, we called it a kangaroo. And it was a kangaroo ever since. Anytime you hear the name kangaroo, it takes into all of its characteristics, its constitution, its nature, everything, how it can reproduce, everything about it. And it comes out kangaroo, one word. Laxo, we did the whole thing, all this with everything that we created, everything we developed, no matter how deep in the ocean it was, part of the sea, the air, the land, the sky, it doesn't matter. But when the European came, by him being earthbound and born without his center, in other words, he had no God source, that he wasn't born, he was cloned, okay? I'll just give it to you like it is. By him not having a God source, that he wanted to make everything to conform to his will, which made it earthly. So he took out whatever he saw that he got rid of the original name, which means he got rid of the God that was in it, and he renamed it something else. No matter what it was, the mountains, the rivers, everything, the people, he renamed. In fact, he got tired so much so he didn't respect the divine name of people, so he started renaming them by their color. This was a black man. This was a red man. This was a yellow man. He's a white man. So he started introducing the color game to replace the divine name so that you would no longer recognize the person as being Cherokee. So you would no recognize the person as being, German or Chinese or whatever. And the reason why, because when you take away the, well, he's a yellow man. Well, when you take away that, the divine name of Chinese, and you call him a yellow man, then that gives you a couple of things. Number one, you can kill him and have no recourse. Because why? You didn't kill a Chinese. You kill a yellow, old yellow something that you yourself named. So you can later destroy it. It wouldn't be missing, at least not according to your terminology. Okay? So he went about the earth doing that with all things, and especially when it comes to the Moors. When we was later sold into Africa, I was stolen from Africa and sold into slavery as a result of us not, and more, this is very important. The reason why the Moors suffered slavery, because the very thing that Raleigh explained in the Quran many times, said, because we honor not the creed and the principles of our forefathers. That's why we end up in slavery, the worst system of slavery ever been known to man. That's what happened, because we were so close to the Creator, okay? And that's why we had to undergo the form of system that we did. Now, that being said, slavery came into effect, and the worst way the worst people that we could be enslaved by were the very people that was conquering Africa and didn't like you because you was African. Period. Okay? So, let me say, oh, gracious. Anyway, so when it went on to the slavery became a fact, the next thing you know, they was calling us Ethiopians for a while. And the reason why they did that was because Ethiopia was the place, but it, in fact, it had been renamed. The actual place was called Abyssinia or Canaan, which was the first true and divine name of the area. And it later became known as Abyssinia. Then the European came along and they called it Ethiopia. Well, the word Ethiopia itself means something divided. So when they conquered the Moors of West Africa, then they called them Ethiopians, although they did not come from Ethiopia, because Ethiopia is in East Africa. But all the Moors that was enslaved because of their West African heritage. Okay, so as a result of that, when they later denationalized them after they captured and brought them to the islands and slave-breaking islands, then to the Americas and what have you, then they later renamed them all kinds of things. Among them was Negro, Black, and Colored, which is names that they were given to their property. Why? Because they become property owners. And when you own property, you call it whatever the heck you want to. If you own a dog, it doesn't matter whether the dog is a shepherd from Germany or a Chihuahua from Mexico. It doesn't really matter. The thing about it is, when you call it Spot, Butch, Fido, then that's what his name is, because it's yours. So, anyway, the Negro, Black, and Colored, that became what is known as denationalizing the Moors. In other words, taking away your true identity, taking away your descendant nature. Okay, this is the reason why we're telling the Moors, stop calling yourself a whole bunch of things that delude to slavery, because until you free yourself as a people with one free national name, then you're nothing. So they're following the same pattern that the European had injected upon them from the get-go. He started naming you whatever he felt like. And so the Moors come along behind him, and they renamed themselves whatever they feel like. It's comfortable. I like being an Afro-American. I like being it. And so they start naming themselves all kinds of stuff. They had different leaders that were not holy prophets. We only had one prophet anyway that's ever been born and raised in the West, and that was Noble Drew Ali. So anybody else that you're following was not a true prophet, nor was he a divine leader. I don't care who he is. It doesn't matter. So as a result of that, you find yourself labeling yourself after these strange leaders, these grand sheets and grand hoobahs and what have you, the case may be. I've seen Daddy Grace and Father Divine and other Masons, and it's all the same thing. And as a result of that, we continued the illegal word. No, it's still a lawful word. I don't want to take the power away from it. Of denaturalization, taking away people's identity. This is it's a crime. It's a serious crime. Not only that, but it's also a sin to denationalize any member of the human family. So our people that is in these different groups and organizations and clubs and cliques and fraternal orders, they don't realize that when they pass on these other slave names, no matter how slick it may be, and you can have all the flags you want to, but if you haven't figured yourself as one people, you're still a slave. And so you go and you name yourself, but it sounds slick now because you named yourself. But the tanks don't care, because all they're going to do is take out whoever has been denationalized. If you're not a people under one government, being refreshed, one free national name, then you are bait for genocide. And that's no skipping around it or no long drawn out situation. That's the way it is. So that's what I have to say about the word denationalization.
Okay, Grand National Chairman, I certainly appreciate that. I'm gonna bring it a little closer to home. And what is your take on Nick Romney?
Well, you said what's my take on it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, number one, let me go back to the president, to the prophet's president. Okay? I gave you the divine origin of why Obama's in office. If you'd have told anybody on the planet that you're going to have a Moe in the White House before 2008, they, including me, they wouldn't believe you, okay? Well, I can't say not including me because I didn't have the policy to do our lead. I didn't want to be Obama, though. I really didn't, although I voted for him. I haven't voted in my life until then. But anyhow, when it comes down to what was the class of name you just called now?
Nick Romney.
Nick Romney, okay. The very word Nick, you know what nation that represents, okay? So by him being, he has pillaged the corporate USA and got everything from it that to make himself a multimillionaire, okay? A billionaire, all right? And he is virtually trying to buy the White House with his billionaire friends. That he assured, look, I'll make sure you pay less taxes. You ain't got to do everything I do by having a bank in the Cayman Islands the way it can't be taxable by the United States and so forth and so on. Nick Romney and the rest of those that call themselves the extreme right, these are nothing but those who are reintroducing the very same thing that put the United States in the corporate position that it's in, that took it in the first place. The United States is a business. It's sort of hard for so-called people who think they're citizens to comprehend this, but Nick Romney knows about it. okay? It is a corporation, and corporation is just another business. Some of his business is on the stock exchange. Some of his business is walking the street, calling themselves Afro-Americans. And some of his business has been denationalized. You can look at the birth certificate because they're property. Business, all corporations deal with property, investments. And this is what Mitt Romney does. So Obama is trying to save the people by the status of nationhood. But no one wants to see the divinity in the words that he's using. But all you got to do is think about Romney and the good old days. That's all you got to do. Think about how they want, as he said, take America back. But notice he's not talking about taking back the United States. He says taking back America. Excuse me, but ain't these the same pale-skinned people that took America in the first place? Ain't they the same one that committed genocide? It didn't make no difference. If they couldn't rule you, control you, they killed you. Oh, I'm sorry. They created the biggest prison system in the world. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but a new plantation. And so, therefore, all they have to do, if they don't like you, they would discredit you, in other words, so that your face would not be no longer recognized. They would defame your character for whatever reason and enslave you, put you in prison. Because that's the only lawful system of slavery that's authorized in the United States, other than some organizations that I know of that I don't want to speak about too much. Mm-hmm. Okay? So Mitt Romney, for lack of a better word, he's doing what the Europeans are supposed to do. He is a corporate head of a business. That's how he made his money. And if you ask him what is the symbol of his religion, he'll hold up the cross. What is that telling you? The cross is the only religion in the world that didn't come out of Africa. All the rest of them is African-based. A religion on earth, except for those that adhere to the cross. So, he's doing what he's supposed to, although he's not going to win, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. And I think his wife said it best, after this time, he's not going to run no more. And there's a reason for that. Okay? And you should ask the question, how come he didn't run when Obama ran the first time? Where was he at then? Okay? When the so-called, because he was out there taking away the job, taking away the businesses, selling people to China, selling businesses to China, and selling states across the United States. A lot of people don't know that Saudi Arabia and China actually own almost whole states now because of Mitt Romney.
Bless
the little Mick. Okay. I'll get his nationality straight now. Okay.
Okay, I think that just about put it in a nutshell. I don't participate in that situation there. Now that we've gotten a guard in the White House and gotten it done, and I can't imagine. Even caring anything about anybody else that don't look like the current president, because I've already experienced over 50 years of something that didn't look like me, and all of them do nothing to benefit me. So I'm certainly glad you brought that information out. For the new people who have just tuned in, Grand National Chairman, you want to give us that number to the national conference call again so they'll know how to dial in there and the time and all?
Oh, yeah. Educational class can be reached every day at 7:30 to 8 o'clock to sign in. The secretary is going to ask you is who's checking in, and you give your name and what territory are you calling from. Even if it's a military base in Germany, it doesn't matter. But the number is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966, and you hit the pound sign. Again, that number is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966-pound. And we got classes 7 days a week, very informative, educational, because that's our responsibility to teach our people their nationality and their divine creed. That's what the government does. If your government don't support you, it can't teach you. Islam.
Islam. Also, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who would like to purchase books and other materials, you can do that right there at MoorishAmericanGov.org. That's MoorishAmericanGov.org. And the books that's listed in the advertisement for this broadcast is there, and you can get that right there online. Grand National Chairman, I need to ask you the following question. And could you elaborate on exactly what is it that makes denationalization a crime?
Well, for one thing, to take away the identity, especially a member of the human family, this right here is not only a criminal, but it's a sin too. What makes it a crime is because it violates the constitutional laws of every government on earth to take away the true identity of anybody. All governments ask you a master question: who goes there? They have a right to know the true identity or the status of every living thing walking with two legs. So they have that right to ask and to be given the true answer. If you have been denationalized, or if you have gone about the business of taking away somebody's true identity, they cannot answer the question, who goes there? So that makes them subject to all the misuse and abuses that the citizens can bestow upon them, because you cannot be a citizen of any government if you can't answer that question. Your nationality must and your free national name are one and the same. It means the same thing. Your nationality and your free national name are one and the same. If someone asks you what is your free national name, or someone asks you what is your nationality, you should be able to say Morris America, because it's all one and the same. So the reason why it's a crime, because all the laws of the books and every judicial system on earth makes it a crime to not identify or properly identify anybody. You must have your true identity. You've got some people in the military that thought they was exempt because I'm a soldier and the high part is still locked up. They never did make it back to the United States because they just want to go according to their military ID and not the nationality. So anyway, that's what makes it a crime, is that it's against all the laws of man. And if you want to look at it, it's against the laws of the great God, according to chapter 48. Because I didn't know that either until I read that no man has the power to change man for the descendant nature of his forefathers. When you do that, when you do that, you're taking away a person's roots. You're taking away a person's identity. That means that all the children, the children, their forefathers, nothing has any meaning anymore. Okay? That's why I was giving you the history about being a United States. What in the world is that? It's the only nation on the planet that cannot identify its citizens.
Okay.
And that's why I'm going to create some more enemies for this cause over with.
I don't know. It's by now for me and you is normal. but anyway, I'm gonna get to the next one, and we can I want to deal with that word sin. And I want to put that out front this time, and put the word denationalization behind it. If you can give us give us that from that perspective and in that order this time, because you mentioned that it is a sin to denationalize somebody, but I think we need to get a breakdown on that term sin first, and then we'll tack on the denationalization and the caboose.
Okay, well, see, when you look at the nationality or at the free national name of a people, that you can trace that people back to the very origin of man, okay? And tracing the very origin of man, you're going to run right back to the very creator where man was first formed, okay? This is why chapter 1 is so important, backed up by chapter 11, because they deal with the creation and the fall of man. So when you go into the creation of man, once you look at how he's put together, you got the spirit, which is immutable, unchangeable. It's not good. You can't kill it, can't die, never had a beginning. And then you got the soul, which the action of the soul gives it the thinking, reasoning, willing, understanding, remembrance, this kind of a thing. And then you got the next level, which would be the nationality. Well, the nationality is dealing with the human attachment to the human family on earth. But you have to look at what you're bringing. You got the God spirit, and you got the mother soul's consultation in you, okay? Then you put all that in a human form. This is what is called nationality. But if you take away the nationality, you cut off the God, and you cut off the soul. This is what makes it a sin, okay? Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what makes it a sin. Anything that cuts you off from you knowing that you and God are one is a sin. I don't care what law, what book, who said it. All right? This is why I think the sister asked me the other night, she said, oh, there's going to be a billion-and-a-half Muslims going to be mad at you, Plasma Bay, because you just know. Because I said that you got a billion-and-a-half Muslim facing a rock five times a day. Look for Allah. Five times a day. Make us a lot. That's not what the Quran say. I'm not the one that said they were in violation. The Quran did. Four occasions in the Quran, it said, look, you face the place that's most dearest unto you. That's where you face to pray. Drew Ali cleared it up when he said, look, the nearest place to meet Allah is in the heart. So that you find that they in a downward between the nearest place and the dearest place. It's all the same. So what we have now, when you get to talk about denationalization being a sin, when you cut that off, and this is what the Arabs do. Have you ever seen so many, we call it an Arab country? You have to see a Saudi Arabia ain't about that big, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else is an Arab country now. How in the world you get to have all these countries? Why don't you just say it's a theocratic government and leave Morocco the way it is? It's still going to be Morocco. You're not going to make Egypt an Arab country. I don't care what you do. Because you're doing what? You're denationalizing the people. That's what makes it sinful. So the Muslims today, especially coming out of Saudi Arabia, crazy as they can be, they're trying to denationalize the whole planet. And then they look around at a bunch of Negroes like they done something wrong. Well, they denationalize them too. And, you know, what they did, the way they did it, it was so cool. They said, well, look, I'll tell you what. If I like you, I'll make you a sultan, a sheikh, a caliph. You might even be an interest if you're real good, okay? But if I don't like you, you're what we call an infidel. So you're only worthy of my enslavement or to get my sex thing off on you. Okay? And this is where denationalization got its root. It was the Muslims that did this. Between being a faithful, what they call faithful, and an infidel. But it was at their discretion. Okay? They made the determination. I like that word. They made the determination as to who was going to be what. If you weren't fit to be a sultan or a caliph, then I'm going to, look, we'll make you the head. And we'll take the citizens from you, and we do what we want to do with them. Because the women, you know, they good. We only want the women of certain ages, certain this, da-da-da. And soon we finish with them, then we throw them on to the dogs, too. Okay? Mm. That's what the nationalization and slavery are hand-in-hand. But let me just put it like this. denazification and chattel slavery are hand in hand, okay? And the reason why we had to go out of it because slavery is always a divine issue, but because we violated Allah's greatest ordinance. That's why we had to undergo it, okay? But anybody, and see, our people today is denationalized each other. That's what makes it so bad.
Yeah.
He ain't no real, I had one brother out of Atlanta, he ain't no real Mo. Who is it? I almost said it again. They had me denationalize the people just that quick. I mean, you know, he's a fake Moorish American. He ain't no real Moorish. He ain't just it. And here he is. He ain't got the pot to nationalize in and a woman to throw the freedom out of.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I run into a lot of that all the time, especially when I'm out posting and working on my computer. And I talk to a lot of different people, too. But it is amazing how our people haven't quite learned how to arrange their priorities properly in life. And we have so many misconceptions about things. We don't study and do any research on our own and stay connected and remember what the prophet said or even study his prophecies. So we make a lot of mistakes. But Minister, I have another question here that I wanted to you to elaborate on as we go into the close. Where do you think we as Moors stand today in regards to the currency, the United States currency?
But where do you stand?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Number one, the United States ain't got to haul a nickel down to run together trying to, no way. Most of the money and gold and the silver, the commerce that they took from the lands, they then shipped that back to the Pope and other parts of Europe, mainly to the Lords of London and other, you know, banking lodges. It's very little here. The most valuable thing the United States got right now is this property that's walking around on 2 feet.
Okay.
So, and when it comes down to us and money, our people wouldn't know money was a kiss them in the mouth. They don't have a clue about what money really is all about. Number one, the first thing they got to do is realize that they are people. Then they come into having national treasures and other national things of value. But if security is what gives the thing value. If you ain't got no security on it, you ain't got no protection on it, it ain't worth nothing no how. So how much protection, and answer your question directly, how much protection do our people, the Moorish Americans, have on themselves? How much are they worth?
Yeah.
They ain't worth it. Love, they don't even love it. They only love their own self. I mean, on the average conference call that we have, we average maybe about anywhere between, I'd say, 60 to maybe 100 people on a good day. Now, you know, and people, they don't know that much in the world. But somebody ain't telling somebody something. Okay? Somebody don't want somebody to be free. Somebody want to be selfish. They don't want the word to get out. Because I've been on the internet, and I don't know about Pleasant Bay. They talk about him real bad, you know. You know, he was locked up, you know. Well, good. Have you ever seen a prophet that they didn't lock up?
They have.
And
I don't
know what they thought they tried to put them down, you know. And with today's media, the same thing you go out to, Brother Bay, with today's media, first thing they want to do is download, you know, dog you on Facebook, dog you on the internet. And the Europeans are the ones that create all these media entities. Well, they call them after us, but they're still using them right now. We ain't got no power. When we come together as a people, then we have our own media.
Yeah. That way the truth can get out then.
Woo, I like when you talk clean to me.
I've been looking at the storm and devastation up in New York City, but I haven't seen a whole lot about people of African descent communities and how they're faring in depth. It seems that we always got the same areas, the same photographs, and the same people at the forefront and ill. But as far as the predominantly African American communities and how they're doing and what needs to go there, I haven't seen a whole lot of that.
Well, that's pretty easy to explain. How many African communities did you know built Atlantic City? They didn't name it Africa. They named it Atlantic City, Manhattan. Okay. So now we know who built the stuff. Okay, but
right.
Let's talk about the value. Who's getting the credit? When you say Manhattan, you don't think about the Moors, although they were slaves that built the damn place, the whole island. What about the subways that's flooded? The buses that ain't running like, well, let me try to free, but no good well, they can hold 4 to 5 people anyway. How free is that?
Point.
But how many buses are called Moors, okay? Because we're not recognized. But, you know, in other words, we have been used. They're talking about the stoplights being out. We the one that built the stoplight, designed them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets the credit for the stoplights? And when they see us, they want to give us a ticket.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So when it comes down to the storm, to me, is just a symbolic measure. Because that whole storm was shaped just like a question mark. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to trace it from Cuba, from the islands, all the way up the coast, and then it hooked right in there between, Delaware and Bridgeport, Connecticut. It hooked right up in there and had a good time.
Yes,
but the thing about it is that when you really look at it, it's showing you what it is, who's got the power, okay? And who don't, because it's the more, if we come together as a people, what they call hurricane season, earthquakes and all that, that don't have to be. That's what's happening because we're not in our rightful place.
Right.
And until we get put back where we belong, the worst is yet to come. You ain't seen no mess yet.
Oh, yeah.
So you really don't want to stop people out front. Let me tell you why, because if you see us out there, that means that we're the one that started the stuff. Okay? Somebody's got to get out of our way. They're like they got to get out of Obama's way.
Okay. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah, always. In fact,
okay.
I was there when you got there. I was waiting on you.
Oh, yeah, I saw you. With Grand Admiral Chairman, we come to the end of the evening. And I certainly appreciate you coming in and as usual, delivering the most vital information that people of African descent need to understand. And thank you.
I would
so
like
much.
To add one other thing on my way out, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is that we're going to have a worldwide unity meeting that we're going to call into existence in about a month or so, give or take.
Okay.
And this is going to include every organization and individual and group and club and Morris Ansibles too, Wachita, everybody is going to be invited to come and join the government, okay, and to be able to have an opportunity because no one is going to be able to say that, do you know, there's nobody to give me no chance to be free or to get my freedom. They're not going to be able to say that. So we're going to open the door to everybody, not that it's closed now, but we're going to make sure we're going to be announced to every celebrity, everybody, from Oprah Winfrey to my ex-wife or wives, okay?
Okay.
So,
all right.
I meant that too. Sure did. Yeah, that include them too. But anyway, everybody gonna have an opportunity to free themselves. Okay.
Mhm.
So that's my last word.
All right. Well, I know you've sent me some information, and I'm gonna go ahead and take a look at that. But I was so busy trying to get ready for this evening to make sure that we got this information out, because it's very, very important for the Moors to hear from their government, and so I wanted to make sure that you come on and let us know what's going on. And I'm gonna go ahead and close down this evening, and we're going to be back Sunday with a gentleman from New York City. If he's able to dial into the broadcast, either way it go, the show will go on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. And Grand National Chairman, I thank you for being here, and I will be contacting you later. And I certainly appreciate you here.
Well, it's been a blessing and an honor, Moore. And, you know, they can feel free to call and check into the conference call, or reach us here at headquarters, 434-676-1555. And we'll be here at your disposal. We're here to help. And we love everybody, especially our own. So it's been a blessing, Moore. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Peace.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been listening to the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government. And I have been your host, Haka Armani L. Bay. And don't forget, Sunday evening at 7 p.m., we'll be right back here with federal and state procedure with Brother Commit to You Bay. So don't forget to be here then. Until Sunday night, you all have a nice evening, and we're going to call it a night. You all have a good evening.